So basically, would you say that so-called safety tests using animals actually promote the use of toxic chemicals for a longer period of time?
Yeah, I would say that in the majority of cases they do. In the majority of cases, the results that are obtained are either ignored or whoever's conducting the tests, if it's to their advantage, will use a species or a strain that is not susceptible to tumors, so that the results wind up being negative and the chemical or the product is deemed to be safe. They, as I said, they have to wait for the results of further and further studies to come out because the people who conducted the first study aren't satisfied with the results, and more studies lead to more and more delay in regulation. So yes, I would say that the longer animal studies are conducted, the longer that human health is at risk, because these products will remain on the market until the results come out, and that can be years and years and years.
You also explain the concept in your book of risk assessment and why it doesn't protect the public from toxic substances. Can you give us the short version of that?
Okay, well, there are many forms of risk assessment, and the form of risk assessment I talk about in my book is toxicological risk assessment. And what that really involves in a nutshell is assessing the hazards to human health of a substance, depending on the dose and the time of exposure. And this is really a whole field of science that has blossomed in the last several decades that has now become an incredibly complicated field that involves toxicologists and statisticians and economists and geologists, because you're talking about sampling food and you're talking about sampling water and sediment sometimes. And this has really come to be a huge field in the animal testing arena, because animals are used in risk assessments to establish risks to humans of certain chemicals, of whether it's safe for a population to be living near an incinerator, whether the doses of radiation coming from a nuclear facility are safe for humans. So animals are used to test the theories of risk assessment, or to test the results of risk assessments, or they're basically used as an integral part of risk assessment to assess the risk to humans from various things in the environment.
And basically, that's done by animal-to-human extrapolation, which you talked about earlier.
Yeah, exactly. That's a fundamental component of risk assessment, because without it, there's really no way to extrapolate the findings from animals to humans. It involves very complicated extrapolation formulas that are very much criticized, even within the scientific community, for being just unreal, rather not really being related to real-life situations or real-life conditions, because of their complexity and because of their linear calculations a lot of the time.
Okay, I'd like to move on to talking specifically about the government. What is the position of the government concerning product testing? And I've heard conflicting viewpoints on this. Do companies have to test their products on animals, or don't they?
Wow, that's a really complicated area. Unfortunately, there are numerous different regulations, and a lot of them are conflicting among the different government agencies. The government agencies that actually use animal data or actually perform their own tests are virtually all of them. You have the Department of Energy, the Department of Transportation, the FDA, the EPA, the NIH, the USDA, I think I've already said that, and the National Cancer Institute. All of these agencies either conduct their own animal tests or require them in some way. The only agency that so far, I believe, has no animal testing requirement, particularly to demonstrate corrosive qualities, is the OSHA, is the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. The Consumer Product Safety Commission has very conflicting regulations. It's very hard to understand what it is they really require. But most of the government agencies do require animal tests. The fact that no non-animal methods are listed in their regulations shows that animal tests are still the most widely used test, and they're the most widely suggested test. Now, the FDA and all these other agencies cannot tell industry people to conduct animal tests. They merely provide guidelines. But what these guidelines really are in a way manuals. If you look at the Code of Federal Regulations, which is a book that lists all the government regulations for each individual agency, the code actually instructs companies or individual manufacturers on how to conduct animal tests. They actually tell them to, you know, use animal species, and they tell them even how to handle the animals, how to apply the test substance to the animals. So it's really, in a way, a manual that is instructing companies or manufacturers on how to conduct animal tests. You don't have the Code of Federal Regulations listing any non-animal methods, as I said, like in vitro tests, even though these are widely used within industry. But the FDA and all the other agencies have the right to refuse data from a manufacturer if they deem that it is not an acceptable method of testing. If it is not an acceptable testing method, according to them, they have the right to refuse the data from that company or manufacturer. So that if a company would not conduct any animal tests and just submitted in vitro data to the FDA might say, sorry, we don't accept that because it's not listed in the Code of Federal Regulations as an acceptable method, therefore we don't accept your data. Ironically, the FDA has the power to list in vitro methods in the Code of Federal Regulations if it so chose to, thereby giving the signal to manufacturers that in vitro data is acceptable, but they have so far not done that.
Can you say why they haven't done that?
That's a very complex issue.
Political issue?
It's, I believe, political. I believe it has to do with a lack of will and a lack of vision. It's not about the lack of technology being there, because the technology exists. It's a matter of the big issue of validation, which is, in my opinion, the issue which has stalled the adoption of non-animal methods for decades. And this issue of validation essentially says that a non-animal method or any other method, a scientific method, has to be shown to be as valid as the method that's currently in use. It has to be reproducible, reliable, and the data from this method relevant to answer the questions that are being posed. Now, if you ask whether the animal methods have been validated, they have not. The animal tests themselves have never been validated, and this is something that is widely accepted in the scientific community, even by scientists that are not quote-unquote animal welfare scientists. The animal tests have never been validated. So you are talking about a gold standard, in this case the animal tests, which are being used as a gold standard and promoted as a gold standard without ever having been scientifically validated. In other areas of science, this would be completely unacceptable, and these people who are promoting these methods and using them as a gold standard would be laughed out of scientific halls and institutions. But in this case, for some reason, these animal tests, unvalidated animal tests, are being held up as the gold standard. Consequently, all the tests that are supposed to be coming after that, such as in vitro tests, are being asked to be validated against the current animal tests, which is unacceptable because the in vitro tests are inherently different. You cannot compare one test system to another. They use different value systems and different measuring systems, etc. And more importantly, the companies that are trying to make headway in using non-animal methods are actually finding that when they conduct their own human clinical trials with, let's say, detergents or surfactants, and they compare their human data to the animal data, they're completely off. In other words, the human data and the animal data don't mix and don't match in any way. And so these companies are actually trying to present human data, not even in vitro data, but human data to these regulatory agencies. And that, in my opinion, should be the real gold standard. And it is also the opinion of these corporations that the human data is the data we're looking for, and hence that data should be the new gold standard, not the animal data, but the human data.
Do you really think that all government scientists agree? Don't some of them think that animal experiments should be eliminated?
Well, in fact, as I write in my book, since the 1950s even, the subject of animal testing has been widely debated among the scientific community. Not all scientists agree that animal testing is the best way to test chemicals and get answers about their toxicity for humans. There are a lot of scientists actually in very prestigious high places in even the National Cancer Institute that believe that this is not the right way to go. These individual scientists have pressed for debates about this. They have pressed for reviews. They have even suggested alternative ways of doing things, including relying more on in vitro studies and studies of human beings. But these pleas have not really been heard, despite the fact that the animal tests are widely considered to be inadequate. They still are being used. Now, I'm not saying that individual scientists within the government agencies like FDA and EPA don't want to move away from animal tests. In fact, a lot of the people I interviewed for this book were very interested in moving away from animal tests and recognized their inadequacy. However, there's, as I think most people realize, in the scientific community, there's a fear of reprisal by one's peers. There's a very heavy peer pressure within the scientific community not to speak out too much, not to cause too much trouble. And the powers that be, or rather the people in positions of power that are entrenched and that are closed-minded, unfortunately seem to have the upper hand at this point in our history. I don't know. It seems like things are starting to change within the FDA and the EPA and OSHA particularly, which has already adopted a non-animal method to test for corrosivity. And it seems like the FDA and EPA, last time I heard, were considering non-animal methods to test for eye irritancy and skin irritancy. So it seems like it's inevitable that these methods, which are now so widely being used by industry, government has to respond to that because they can't be left behind in this archaic way of doing things. If industry is moving forward, government has to respond to that. So there is a sign that things are changing, but the change is incredibly slow, and there is an incredible resistance to change within federal bureaucracies.
Now, can the legislature become involved in this and pass laws eliminating animal testing? Is this possible?
This has been tried a long time by groups in the U.S. like the Doris Day Animal League, which has lobbied for 10 years for a law called the Consumer Product Safe Testing Act. And what this law intended to do was to eliminate the LD50 test wherever possible and to get government agencies to review their testing protocols and their guidelines to try to eliminate animal testing wherever there are methods that are able to replace animal tests. Now, this gets into the whole issue of validation and whether these non-animal tests are acceptable to the regulatory establishment or not. That, of course, is a whole big issue, which is stalling the acceptance of these non-animal methods. And until this validation barrier is overcome, we will never get animal tests accepted into the regulatory standards. So legislation can only go as far as legislation allows it to, in a sense. If there's legislation that's already on the books that is sort of blocking new legislation, or if it's not, should you say, compatible with new legislative efforts, then it's not going to succeed. Unfortunately, the legislation introduced that the Doris Day Animal League has sought to introduce for the last 10 years has all been defeated. They've gotten some congressional support by dozens of congresspersons, but that's obviously not enough, and the legislation just always seems to die. There doesn't seem to be enough interest in this issue to bring it to a vote and to have it pass.
Well, now, how does the U.S. government influence the policies of other governments around the world?
Well, in this case, in the field of toxicology testing, the United States has a huge influence on other governments. The National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences, which is under the mandate of the National Toxicology Program actually funds one-third of toxicology studies around the world. So this clearly has a huge influence on the policies and the agendas of other countries.
And what is the role played by international agreements like GATT, the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade on Vivisection?
Well, the influence on GATT would be tremendous because it has the potential to undermine a lot of advances that have been made in the non-animal testing or cruelty-free products world. As you know, there are many companies like The Body Shop, which is the largest, I would say, and other smaller companies which tout themselves as being cruelty-free because they don't test on animals. However, what companies are challenging under GATT is that because a lot of these products use ingredients that have been tested on animals in the past, these companies, like The Body Shop, cannot call themselves cruelty-free. Now, I'm happy to say that the an initiative like this, I think the consumers, I would have to look this up, but a consumers trade group brought a suit against under GATT that challenged the cruelty-free label, and I'm happy to say that that was recently overturned so that the cruelty-free label is not threatened anymore in this country. But that